Ephesians 2. Pastor Nathan read it last week, starting verse 12. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you were once far away, and you have been brought near by the blood of Christ. What wonderful news it is. We are brought near by the blood of Christ.
glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
I exalt you.
Oh,
Welcome to New Life Church. My name is Janet. I'm your host for today. So we want to start by inviting all the children who are 3 to 5 years old and all the ones who are in grade 1 to 5 to come down to the front. You can sit on the front steps, but we don't want you to touch those letters. And your helpers and your parents can come down with you as well. And we want to pray for you when you get down here. Every week you come down, these letters have got more stickies on them. Because that's what we're doing in our main service. Great to see so many coming down. If you'd like to extend a hand of blessing over the children, we're going to pray for them and for their leaders. Dear Lord, we thank you for these children. Thank you for entrusting them to families in our church and to our church too. And we pray, Lord, that we may help them to grow, to know and love you as their Lord and Savior. We pray that today each one of them may experience something that tells them that you love them very much and that you care for them. We pray for the leaders as they work amongst them and that they too will receive a blessing. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Okay, so little lights, that's the 3 to 5s out that door, and the big kids out that door. It's quite a crowd of them. And because there are so many of them, it takes a lot of people to help them and to be there with them. And they're still in need of about 25 more volunteers. Now, when you volunteer, you're not volunteering to have to do it for every single week. Most of the people who help are going to be doing it once a month. I've got lazy as I've got older, and I only do it on the 5th Sunday of the month, so that's pretty easy going. But, you know, maybe you can say, I will fill in when somebody else can't be there. But talk to Mark Kostelik if you think in any way you can help. And it's not standing up and keeping the whole tribe of them in control. Some of it will just be working with a small table of them doing Lego at the end of their story. So it's not too difficult. So if you have a heart for those children, then please let Marg know. So we're really happy that you're with us today. If you are a guest or want to know more about New Life, please fill out the Connect card, which is in the seat pocket in front of you or the back of the pew, and bring it to the info booth. If you do that, you're going to receive a New Life tote bag, and inside the bag, you'll get a bag of coffee. If you're not new here, you can still get a bag of coffee by buying it for the other side, because we're selling it for our missionaries this morning. And if you're online this morning, we would love you to connect with us too. So please, we encourage you to comment where you are and who you're watching with. It's interesting, I think, for them to know how far flung some of our congregation is. So Thanksgiving is only 2 weeks away. And New Life is hosting a breakfast on Thanksgiving Monday. And it says, I really have to emphasize this. Okay, it's at 9 o'clock. Did you get that? 9 o'clock. The breakfast is at 9 o'clock. The day before Sunday, Sunday is at 10 o'clock, so don't get confused. Sunday 10, Monday 9. And you don't want to be late on Monday. Well, you don't want to be late on Sunday because you'll miss the worship time, but you don't want to be late on Monday because you'll miss the breakfast. And it's a pancake breakfast, and I think from something that's going to be said later, it's going to be sausage and all kinds of other things. So it will be good. So that's on Monday at 9 o'clock. And it's a meaningful time. We sit and eat together. And then there's a time of worship. And people can reflect on things that over the past year they've been able to be thankful for. So now I'd like you to watch a short video about our life groups, which is another important part of our ministry here.
So last summer, we were camping with our home group. I went through, I ended up in the hospital in Hope with some heart trouble. So I ended up, spending the night in the hospital. So, it was a tough night for me. During the night, I just sat there, sometimes you have these crazy thoughts. At night, you're kind of like, is this it? Like, why was I created? Why in the world am I here? Was I work here just to work? You know, so I thought about that night, and I think, I was here to show Christ's love to others. But that night, the home group showed Christ's love to me, right? Because they were the ones, as I fainted, they were the ones to catch me. They were the ones who put me in a truck, took me to the hospital. And luckily, we were only 30 seconds from the hospital. And we were actually camping in the back parking lot of the hospital. Yeah. So the Lord knew that this brand son needed to be close to a hospital. Yeah. But then my wife and my son were with me all night. The home group was back at home group at the campground, and they were praying for me. Like they had their own little prayer meeting with the kids. So to me, that was showing Christ's love to me. So I spent the night there, got things figured out, and was able to come back in the morning, and we were able to have church together. So it was just a really good experience of just how God can take care of you. And for me, it just shows how important relationships are. So it's one of those things that when I needed the help, they were there, right? So I in turn want to be that to others.
Well, it's more than just the past year, I would say, right? So because I think life group experiences over time really reflect on God's faithfulness. If you look back, you can see it. And that gives you hope to look forward to, because then God's faithfulness is also for the future. And to be able to build that through sorrow and through joys is really something that's strengthening to me. And I can go up to anyone in my home group and rejoice with them, and also be have tears with them. So I think that's what's really helped me grow in my spiritual life. And the Bible study we do. We also are vested in saying what the scriptures say to us about our life together.
Well, half of the couples in our group have experienced the death of their first spouse. And so just seeing them, that they still go on with hope and they have positive for the future and can testify to God's faithfulness despite the loss and the grief and what they've gone through, that they're still a positive, you know, and talking about God's faithfulness, you know, those three couples are real testimonies to us.
Yeah, so I'd say this year specifically, we've been learning a lot about prayer. And so one of the things that I've learned is we've been practicing prayer, but then also we've just had a lot of heavy prayer requests in our life group this year with different people's family members. And I think of, like, our whole church knows little Jackson. And so that's just been a great opportunity to practice the things that we've been learning. And so every week we learn a different aspect or a different thing about prayer, but then we get the chance to put it into practice right away, and we get to pray for Jackson and to see his growth throughout the year, from way back in the fall when he was probably as big as my hand, and now to where he's home, and we get to have life group when he's sitting right there. And so it's just a really tangible way for us to see, like, holy smokes, like, God's been working through this little guy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just pretty cool to see that, and definitely has strengthened my faith in the area of prayer for sure.
So a new life, we believe discipleship is meant to be done in community. Remember how Jesus formed a small group with his disciples. He called them one by one, but he also called them into community, a group of 12. And the disciples followed Jesus together as a small group, and their growth as disciples happened in that communal context. And for this reason, we believe that life groups are the best place to grow as disciples of Jesus Christ. So we want to encourage you to join a life group this year to experience the love of God by sharing it with others, but also receiving it from others, as we heard in the video there. And also by the growth together in experience as we through prayer and Bible study and more. So Sean's going to be in the foyer by the library after the service. So if you have any questions or want to know more about life groups, please talk to him afterwards. So today, as we always do on the fourth Sunday of the month, we're taking an offering for New Life Missions Fund. And that supports the missionaries that we have in our church. So we've got Fred in out in the Middle East. We've got Eve working in Ethiopia. We've got Fernando down in Colombia. So we also have the Barnhorns, who we've always said, well, they're in Nigeria, but in fact they're now in Ontario working remotely in Nigeria, but they're here today. So before we get into the offering and everything, they're going to come up and tell us. I'd like to invite them up now to tell us about their ministry in Ontario with Wycliffe.
Thank you, Janet. So it's been a long time, and so some of you may remember us, but more like what you see on the screen with very little children. And then it's been 7 years since we've been here, but this is what we look like now. So they've grown a little bit. We were here from 2001 to 2004 with little people, and now we're the little people in our family. So we have Stephen on the right-hand side. He's in his second year at Redeemer. Samuel's over there on the left, and yes, he is taller than his big brother, and he's in grade 11. Then beside me is Esther. She's in grade 9. And on the other side of Jono is Silas, and he's in grade 10. So that is what our family looks like now.
So as Janice mentioned, we were here in 2001 to 2004, and this was our church home, and since then we've come back only a couple times, but each time we come back, we're grateful for the way that you guys make us feel like family and the way you accept us, and for the support over the 15 years that we've been gone, and you've been praying for us and financially supporting our ministry in Nigeria. So we're very grateful, and we thank you for that. But we serve with Wycliffe Bible Translators, whose primary focus is on giving people access to the Word of God in the language they speak best, in the way that they can use it best. And we believe that through access to the Scriptures, that's how lives, communities, people are transformed. And even, you know, we are transformed as we interact with the Word of God. So my role in Nigeria was, and still is, mainly in the area of consulting. So once Scriptures are translated by the translators, then there are a lot of checks that go on in order to make sure that it's accurate. So I'll often sit with, I think you want to go to the next slide. Oh, sorry, I jumped. But just a couple of quick slides about how many languages there are. Some, it's hard to imagine, but there are over 7,000 languages in the world. And in Africa, there's about 2,000, and of those 2,000, we have over 500 in Nigeria. So what that means is my job will not be over in a long time, because job security, lots of chances to translate and help people get the word of God. So there's about 200 of those languages still have no translation work started. So big need, but we are grateful to have been able to be there. And yeah, like I said, I work mainly in the area of consulting, sitting with teams, going over their translation, helping them to make it more clear and more accurate.
So the picture that you see, that was during COVID. My role in Nigeria for the past 5.5 years was to be the HR director. So taking care of all the people. And so during COVID, I was the one who got to make all the rules about when to wear masks and how far apart you could be. So my husband then decided that he would meet with his team outside, because the rules were only for being inside. So the weather was lovely, so he could meet outside with the team. At the end of our time, I was able to hand my role over to Christina, who is beside me there. And she took over. It was lovely to invest in her, support her, and encourage her, and she's doing a great job. So that now I can have a new role. And I get to do what I think is great and support her and others like her across Africa in their role as HR, and just support them, encourage them, develop training, help them deal with their special people when they have some issues or personnel issues, and be an encouragement. So I think it's a great job. And working with people who love to serve and take care of others.
Just a few of the things that we've seen from the work of translation. I think there's one of the big blessings for me was seeing the emergence of what would you call them, language services, but basically typically, most church services are conducted in either English or a trade language, like that kind of a lot of people speak. But it doesn't really meet people where they're at, because each community will speak a different language. And so, what they did as a result of kind of the Bible translation was to start language-only services, where the services were done in the mother tongue of the people in that church. So each once a month, there would be no other language in the service except for their mother tongue. And you'd really see kind of the different people that would come. You'd have a lot more people, and there'd be a lot more excitement and a lot more engagement in the service. And so that, for me, that really spoke to the need of Bible translation and helping people to access God's word in their own language. And the other thing that we did was we encouraged audio players, solar-powered audio players, so that they could charge them when there was sun, and then they would be able to hear the scriptures, because literacy, again, is another challenge and another barrier for people to be able to read, but at least they could hear. Almost everybody can hear. And so I think on the next slide, we just have a picture of some... Oh, I took that one out. Okay. But people could access the scriptures in audio form.
And here are just a few prayer points, if you remember us. The other thing to help you remember is we have these prayer cards on the info table, so you're welcome to take one home and put us on your fridge or somewhere where you'll remember to pray for us and the work that the Lord's doing in Nigeria. So prayer for transformation through God's word in language communities around the world. Pray for our colleagues in Nigeria, both local Nigerians and other missionaries like us. And also pray for us as we balance living and working at home. Some days we don't leave our house, but it's been great to be able to continue working. And then also please pray for our kids as we travel. often without them, and our travel schedule is getting a little busier, so we're trusting that they're independent enough to do well while we're away. Thank you.
And I think probably going to mention, but for those who are interested to hear more, I think there's going to be a lunch in one of the meeting rooms. You'll mention that.
Okay, thanks.
So if you want to just stay here, we can pray for you, and I'll try to remember some of those things. And we'll also pray for our missionaries in general. And also we will include a prayer for our pastor as he goes on his sabbatical starting tomorrow. So he won't be around for a while, so we're going to have to behave ourselves. And but we do want to pray for him as he goes off. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the work that you are doing around the world through people like Janice and Jonah. And we just ask, Lord, that you will bless them as they continue in the translation work and the work with other missionaries throughout Nigeria and also throughout Africa as a whole. Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you that their children are back in Canada with them. And we pray that as they adjust to Canadian life, you will help them and strengthen them. And we pray that their work as it goes on will be able to be balanced between home and Nigeria and all the travel that has to go on. Lord, we commit them into your hands, your safekeeping, as we do our other missionaries. And we thank you that we can support them by prayer, but also by bringing our offerings to you. And we ask that you'll bless the money that comes in and it will be used in furthering your kingdom. We thank you for our pastor. We thank you that he has the opportunity to have a sabbatical. And we pray for him that you will strengthen him, that you will bless him and refresh him, that you will give him what he needs at this time in his ministry. And we pray too for the staff that are left behind, that they will be able to fill in the gaps, and also for those who will be bringing your message each week, that we will be open and receptive to them. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. Okay, yes, yeah, so you... Yeah, so after the service, you have the opportunity to go upstairs to room 303, where we'll have lunch together, and you get an opportunity to hear much more in depth about what is being done by the Barnholm family. So please join us upstairs. So you can give your offering electronically, or you can come up and put it in the boxes on either side, and you can do that during our fellowship time. And please include your full name and designation on the memo line of your e-transfer, or any way you give, you need to let us know who you are and what you want the money to go to. If the gift is not designated, it goes to the New Life General Budget. So now we have our three-minute fellowship time. And during this time, we encourage you to meet someone new, someone you haven't seen for a while. You can give your offering during that time. And if you need an icebreaker question, ask your neighbor what time the Thanksgiving breakfast is and whether you prefer sausage or bacon.
There's only one way, really gonna change.
All right, if you would take a seat, please. Welcome again to New Life. So glad you're here. It's a big crowd today. That's awesome to see. And we've got lots of stuff going on this morning. We've already had a lot of stuff going on. And this morning we also have the privilege to commission a couple of fellas from our church here and to commission them on a YWAM discipleship training session and outreach. And so I want you to have a chance to hear from them, what they're going to be doing and why they're doing it, and then have an opportunity to commission them and pray for them. So this is Ryken Bransma, and this is Aiden Bransma. They're not related. It's just the way it happens around here. You end up with the last name, same last name. No, what are you guys? Second cousins. Okay, there you go. All right, excellent. So what are you guys going to be doing?
We're going to be just helping underprivileged communities, and that's on the outreach part.
Okay.
But in Kona, we'll just be kind of learning about God and how to preach, and then we'll use that information that we learned on outreach to kind of spread God's word.
Excellent. I wish I was your age, and because it always gets me, right? Going to Hawaii for, like, it's like, what? Maybe that's the why. Why are you going?
I'm going because after graduation, I thought it would be kind of a good opportunity to just see different parts of the world and just see different communities on how life goes on there, and just see different parts of the world and help those communities and spread the gospel. So
cool. Wow. Good. And you don't even know where you're going.
Yeah. No, we don't know where we're going until like the fifth day we're in Hawaii. Then we know where we're going after.
Right. You know you're going to Hawaii. Yeah. Aiden.
So I went on a missions trip in the Philippines in February, and I really found like my love to evangelize to people.
What?
And I wanted that to get that opportunity, but I also wanted more training to be a little more, to almost be a little more qualified to do it and just like know a little bit more. And so that's the main reason why I'm going.
Impressive, huh? Isn't that amazing? Cool. All right. Excellent. Yeah. All right. Well, what can we pray for?
I think we can just pray for crossing the border and like getting to Hawaii, because I've heard it's kind of a little bit difficult sometimes with YWAM, and also just for praying for outreach and wherever we go, if it's dangerous, just pray for safety.
Okay. Awesome. Aiden?
Just praying for health and safety, but also for the leaders there, so that, just for God to be able to use them to like teach us more, us well.
Yeah. Great. Let's extend a hand of blessing on these guys. And they're going their own individual decision, and yet, they're going on behalf of New Life Church to say, hey, we want to be disciples of Jesus and declaring hope and light in this world. That's pretty cool stuff. So let's commission them and pray for them. All right. Father, God, we pray for a blessing on Aiden and Ryken. God, thank you for them. Thank you for planting within their own hearts and minds this passion to share the gospel of Jesus and to be able to explore the world, to be able to say, I can come alongside of people and declare and proclaim Jesus upon them. And so, God, we pray for safety. We pray for blessing as they cross borders and travel around. We pray, God, that you will draw them close to you. Help them to know your presence as they learn to be equipped proclaim the gospel. God, we pray that that you will bless them in that endeavor, in their discipleship training, and then as they go out to who knows where. God, we pray just for your Spirit's presence to equip them, to strengthen them, to give them courage, to give them a sense of peace, to know that you have them in your hands. And so, God, we bless them, and we pray that they can be a blessing wherever they are. And we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness in Riken's life and in Aiden's life, and we pray that you will draw them close to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys, blessings. All right. Yeah. So that's another thing. So remember to pray for the Barnhorns on mission in Nigeria with Wycliffe. Remember to pray for Aiden and Riken on mission with YWAM. And we look forward to hearing where they've been, and then when they come back, all of the cool things that God has done in and through them as well. All right, well, couple other things. So I'm going on sabbatical. This is my last Sunday. I'll be returning just a week before Christmas. I'll be able to spend Christmas with you. Look forward to that. And, 2 weeks ago, we're in this series of messages on the vision for our church, summarized by this phrase, love in action. And 2 weeks ago, I preached on experiencing God's love. And, that's my ambition, is to be able to just pull back and rest up and experience God's love all over again. Been working hard these past number of years, and some of that has been exhilarating, but some of it has also been draining. And even this morning, as we sang together, that was tugging at my heart. To sing "I Exalt Thee" and to go, wow. I just want to experience God's love so that I can exalt him and lift him up in everything that I do, but also in just in the way I think and in the way I behave and in my attitude, just to be able to exalt the name of the Lord. And so that'll be my endeavor. So thank you for your prayers for that as well. We also want to encourage you to keep praying for a member of our congregation, Otto Van Eck. He's just been recently diagnosed with skin cancer, and he'll be undergoing treatment the end of next month, starting a series of treatments. And so want to just pray for health and strength for him as well. Good news, our church has been endeavoring to sponsor a refugee family from the Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo, and they've taken refuge in South Africa. They've been there for a time. They cannot stay there, and so we're endeavoring to bring them to settle here in Abbotsford, and we've been under this process for, I think we've been waiting for 3 years or so. And the good news is that they are scheduled for an interview this Thursday. So we want you to be praying for the Colombo family, that interview will go well, because that is one of the last steps before they are permitted then to make travel arrangements to be able to come to Canada. And so we're anticipating that is going to be moving along. So we want that interview to be successful, that the Colombo family can be released to be able to travel to Canada. So we'll keep that in prayer. All right. Well, let's take a moment to pray together. Father, we're in your presence. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. Thank you for the assurance that you are always with us. And so, God, even as we sit here in church, we sit in your presence, and we have come to you.
We pray that we may hear from you, that that your presence will also communicate to us a call upon our lives, on each of our lives, just as we heard from Riken and Aiden. And so, God, we pray that we'll have listening ears, even as we open your word. We pray especially, God, that, together we can experience your love, and that we can in turn then exalt you and give all the glory to you in whatever we're doing. We pray for the Colombo family, God, as they have this interview this week. Pray for the success of that interview so that they can continue on with their life plans. And God, we look with anticipation to welcome them here in Abbotsford to establish themselves here. We pray for Otto. God, we pray for healing and strength for him. We pray that you will sustain him in this time of waiting for the treatment. And we pray, God, that you will bless Otto and Inika, that you will encourage them, that you will draw them close to you, give them strength each day, Father, to trust in you, to know your faithfulness. And so, God, we submit our lives to you and pray that you will sustain us, that you will equip us, and that you will bless us to be your servants. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, we are in this series of messages called Love in Action, and we want to try to characterize, who are we trying to be? What kind of church are we trying to be? And so Paul talks about that. Also, we've been in this letter of Ephesians, and in chapter 4, he talks some more about what it means to be that body of Christ. Here's what he says. Ephesians chapter 4, the first three verses, says this: "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Now, those are nice words, and we take those in. And even as I reflect on the past several years that we've been doing church together, we've concentrated a lot on that sense of community, that sense of unity, urging one another to be humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. We've been concentrating on unity and all of that business. As I think, reflect on what it's been like for me these past several years, I think, man, we've been just working hard at this unity thing and keeping us together and drawing us together and all of that stuff. The problem with that is it can become easily misplaced, and then we quickly think that unity is what it's all about. That in fact, to be church is simply and merely to be unified. But in fact, Paul is not instructing us to be unified simply for its own sake. Because we easily miss the phrase that he begins with. As a prisoner for the Lord, he says then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. In other words, we represent Christ everywhere we are and in everything that we do. It means that to be church, to be the body of Christ, means action. Action for a purpose. And the purpose is to live the life of Christ. To live Christ's life. To be his hands and feet. To be his words, to be his, to have the mind of Christ, as Paul says in Philippians, is to live the life of Christ. That's what Paul is after. That takes action. So we're in this series. The first week we took a look at Okay, what does this phrase mean? Well, it means experiencing God's love. Last week we said, well, it also means sharing God's love with everyone, breaking down the barriers so that we don't create obstructions for people to be able to receive God's love and grace in their lives. This week, we're emphasizing taking action. To be able to say, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do stuff that is in obedience to the way that Christ lives. To be able to imitate that. In other words, unity is never for its own sake. Paul doesn't press for unity just because it seems like a nice thing to do. We read those words and it feels like, aw, that's so sweet. But that's not why Paul is urging us to live the life of Christ, simply for unity for its own sake. He presses for unity because it best represents the one hope, the one mission, the one purpose of Christ. And that is to reconcile people to God. Which is why then Paul goes on, if you're following along in Ephesians chapter 4, he follows that up. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. It's kind of a creed. It's kind of like, this is what we believe for the sake of reconciling the world to God. That's the purpose. That is love in action. And that unity of purpose then gets expressed in a diversity of gifts. So that's kind of the paradox of this taking action thing, is that, yeah, the end result is unity. When we can gather around the mission of Christ, there's unity. Because one Lord, one Savior of us all. But that gets expressed in all kinds of ways, all kinds of actions. And so Paul goes on to say, and here's where he transitions. So he says, if you get caught up thinking that all I'm about is unity, he says, but, verse 7, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, Paul's thinking of Jesus, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. It's a military image. It's an image of a king coming in and conquering, plundering, and gathering up all of the goods and then distributing it to his people. And so Paul is saying, yeah, that's exactly what's happened. Christ has come into this world, and to each one of us, grace has been given. Gifts have been given. Talents, abilities, opportunities to take action. We're united in our calling to live Christ's life. But God has generously supplied us with all kinds of gifts and abilities and opportunities. So I want to emphasize that in three ways. This diversity of gifts is, first of all, then, for everyone. That means we're talking about every person in this room. A lot of times, we've translated this so intensely in terms of particular abilities, and then it's easy for us to dismiss it and say, well, yeah, I don't have any of those abilities. And then we'd never take action. So this morning you heard the call to take action, to say, look, in children's ministry, we need 25 more volunteers. And it's easy for us to say, no, I don't have that ability. But that's this call to action, to live Christ's life, is simply for everyone. In whatever you're doing, in every aspect of your life, take action for the sake of proclaiming God's salvation. That's what Aidan and Riken are doing. They're taking action. They're saying, man, I've grown up knowing this faith in Jesus I know some of the glory of the gospel of Jesus and his salvation. And they're taking action on that, imitating the life of Christ. How do I do that? They're taking action. It's for every purpose and for every person, each one of us. Paul lays that out in several ways. And here in Ephesians 4, he simply says, yep, taking action is for everyone because God has given a gift to everyone. In 1 Corinthians 12, you've heard of the spiritual gifts, and Paul lays some of them out in 1 Corinthians 12. Also in Romans 12, you might want to take a look at that. Gifts of teaching, gifts of knowledge, gifts of wisdom, gifts of healing, gifts of mercy, gifts of serving, gifts of leading. Just a whole array of gifts. And I suspect Paul wasn't even trying to be exhaustive. He was simply trying to name off the first things that came off of his mind. And then he says, and go to it. Live the life of Christ as you go about carrying on living in this world. The other part of this, though, is in terms of the diversity of gifts, is that not only is it for every person, but it's for every kind of action. Paul refers to these gifts specifically as grace, grace that God has handed out, which means that taking action isn't so much about your performance, right? We place a lot of emphasis on the ability to do something and then, oh, well, you're really good at that, so you better do that. And then that excuses us so that, well, I'm not so good at it, so I don't think I need to do that. That's not what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying that the diversity of gifts is for every action. So he specifically says, God has handed out grace to every one of us. And so, less than performance, the emphasis is on faithfulness, on obedience. How are you living the life of Christ? Take action towards living the life of Christ. So when we receive these abilities and these talents as God's grace, then it's a matter of that faithfulness, a matter of obedience. Grace received is always grace in action. Think about that. Grace received is always grace in action. Right? We learn that from some of the parables that Jesus told of people who received grace and then they did nothing with it. Right? But grace received is always grace in action. Parable of the merciful servant. Right? When Jesus tells a story of a guy who was forgiven immense amounts of money, he is like, nah, don't worry about it. You don't have to pay me back. But then he himself meets a fellow servant and demands repayment from that servant. And so he failed in putting grace into action. That diversity of gifts then is for every person, everyone sitting here. That diversity of gifts is for every action because grace has been distributed among us all. And it's for every opportunity. And here's in chapter 4, if you're following along, in verse 9 and 10, the NIV has it in brackets. So whenever I've read this all along, I've been thinking, I can just ignore that part because it's in brackets. It's not that important. But in fact, this is the most exciting part to me, I think. That Christ has apportioned grace to every one of us. And then Paul says that little, I don't know where he got it from a psalm. When he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. And then this, verse 9, this is the bracketed part. What does he ascended mean except that he has also descended to the lower earthly regions? So he's talking about Jesus coming to earth as a baby, being born here on earth. This is an amazing thing, right? Of course. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens. So now he's talking about how Christ, a humble baby, now has become Lord over the universe. And then he says this. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. With what? With this amazing grace, with all of these gifts, with all of these abilities, with all of these opportunities. It's endless, folks. Love in action is endless. Everywhere you look, everywhere you are, every action you take, at least ought to be, love in action. Every opportunity. God is such a generous God. There's all kinds of opportunities. You just need to open your eyes. You just need to open your ears. You just need to open your heart to recognize, where is God calling me to take action? So in these Sundays, focusing on our vision for the church, I'm giving you opportunity to make a commitment. So this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to make a commitment to take action. And maybe, as you heard earlier, that taking action is simply signing up for a small group. Or maybe taking that action is simply saying, I'm going to grab a prayer card from the Barnhorns and I'm going to commit to pray for them. Take action. Take action to say, okay, I'm going to write it down on my fridge. I'm going to say, I got to keep praying for Riken and Aiden. Or to keep praying for the Colombo family. And take note of their interview on September 28th, on Thursday. Take action. Take action and sign up to volunteer in children's ministry or whatever other ministry God stirs in your own heart and mind to say, wow, man, if I could be involved in that. And recognize it as God's grace in your life. Don't just analyze it and go, no, I can't do that. I don't have time, I don't have the ability, I don't have the passion for it, all of these things. Recognize it as God's grace in your life because he's generously spread all kinds of opportunities for us to be able to declare God's glory and to proclaim the salvation. The excitement of God's abundance and generosity ought to stir us to action. And our own excitement and our own enthusiasm for searching out those opportunities for love in action will stir us to action. So pray to God that he opens our eyes and our ears to notice when he's maybe nudging us, maybe pushing us, maybe just wrenching us out of our comfort zone to say, here's an opportunity, I want you to take it. So let's pray together. And then I'm going to invite you to, as the band plays, to come on up and to one of these tables. There's three of them here. Grab the red note card and sticky note and write on there your commitment of how you're going to take action to experience God's love and to proclaim God's love. And then take a sticker to remind you that you've made that commitment. You take that sticker home. I've got a collection going here, so on my Bible, good place for it. And then we'll finish off the service after that. So let's pray together. Yes, thank you, God. Thank you for your grace, for your gifts, for your generosity, for your abundance of good things and opportunities that you place in our lives. So we pray, God, that you will open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, our minds. And then, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, stir within us that enthusiasm to take action, an excitement to anticipate what you might do through us, God. Take away the fear of other people's judgments. stir within us, God, courage and boldness. And God, just equip us with servant hearts that says, yeah, maybe this is a little uncomfortable, or maybe it just causes me to move. But God, let it be to your honor and glory. Let it be to the praise of your glorious name. God, stir within us all your spirit so that we just eagerly grab hold of this opportunity to live the life of Christ. And may it all be for the sake of your kingdom. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand with us. I've had a lot of fun this morning singing, and I think we're going to have just a little bit more fun. So I hope you have joy when you sing with us, when you sing this song, because I certainly do.
Thank you.
wonderful. Well, go with God's blessing as you take action to declare God's praise and his glory. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face of love towards you and give you his peace. Amen. Amen.